And this morning, as I consider what to share, I want to ask a question. A question that, at least in my experience, has come up often in Christian circles and Christian gatherings. If you've been involved in a church group for very long, chances are you've had this discussion with somebody, either within the church or from outside. And the question is, what does God really want? And they may phrase it in different ways. Sometimes the discussion centers around, how do I know the will of God? And many times when that question is asked, it's usually trying to justify why I make the decisions that I make. And we say, what does God have to do with it anyway? And sometimes we get so picky about the little things of life that we miss the big picture. And we get so consumed about what is God's will for my life in regard to who I marry or to where I go to work or to what I do in my free time. And I think God has a lot to say about all of those things. But sometimes we're so focused that we miss the bigger picture. Because I believe when we get the bigger picture, we're able to more clearly understand what God wants in those details of life. And so throughout the month of October, this week and next week, and then I'll skip a week and be back at the end of the month, we're going to take a look at three things that the Bible says God wants from me, that God says He wants from you. And we find that in the book of Micah, chapter 6. And verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Jesus addressed these same principles in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. He's coming down hard on the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, on the religious people, because they were so proud of their religious acts that were being done so that others could look at them and applaud. In Matthew 23, verse 23, Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, the mint, the dill, the cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness." Did you catch that? Micah said that God requires that you act justly, you love mercy, you walk humbly with your God. Jesus comes along and he tells the religious leaders that you've neglected the most important parts of the law, in essence, to act justly, to love mercy. Jesus describes it as faithfulness, but it's that walking humbly with your God. And so what does it look like? This morning we're going to focus in on that first element. What does God want from me when it comes to acting justly? I think to begin, we need to kind of define, what does that mean? I looked it up. And the definition of justly was to act according to what is morally right or fair. Well, in a culture, in a world that has a tough time defining what is morally right and fair, what does that look like for you and me? This idea of doing what is morally right and fair kind of leads us to this concept of justice, but even with that, we kind of get confused. We have within our culture, and pretty much any culture, what we would define as a criminal justice system. But for the most part, we've kind of relegated that to punishment. And yet God's definition, God's design for justice is beyond punishment. If all of God's justice revolved around punishment, we're all in trouble. God's idea of justice is making things right. You go back and you really study the law. You study those books of law that God gave through Moses. And we get caught up a lot in the thou shalt nots. And we get caught up in the penalties that are there for breaking those thou shalt nots. But if you really look into that law, James describes it as the perfect law which gives freedom. You'll find that he has established ways for making things right when we do wrong. And so I looked up the definitions for justice and I found it interesting. The first one that I found says it's a concern for justice, peace, and genuine respect for people. And I thought, boy, back when I went to school, you weren't allowed to use the same word as part of the definition. But here it is. So I looked a little further. It says it's a process or result of using laws to fairly judge and punish crimes and criminals. Well, that's kind of where we're at as a culture when we think of justice. It's our system of laws. It's a system of punishment. But what if there's more? And then finally, as I continued to look, I discovered that it also is the quality of being just. The quality of righteousness, equitableness, or moral rightness. When we consider God's word and we believe that it is the standard for moral rightness, then this idea of acting justly ought to align with what God says. So this morning I want to use that word act, and that's going to be our outline, A-C-T. And we're going to look at what it would look like, what an act of justice would look like in your life and in my life if we were to apply it from God's word. How do we reach that point of living with an act of justice according to God rather than an act of justice according to me or according to you? A lot of years ago, I spent some time at the courthouse here in Goshen. Not that I was in trouble, but our vehicle had been hit by a drunk driver, and supposedly he had borrowed the vehicle, and there was this big fight as to whether who was going to cover our vehicle and who wasn't. But it eventually got to the point that the insurance company settled it. I got what I needed, but I wasn't satisfied. Every time there was a court date for this man, I would show up because I wanted to be heard. I would say I wanted justice. But eventually I reached the point in my mind and I realized I already had justice. It had already been made right. What I was really looking for was revenge or retribution or something that was beyond justice. I think so many times in our life when we think about what it looks like to live with an act of justice, we want something different than what God wants. And what would happen today if we would live life looking for the ways that we can help make things right? That we can be instruments of justice according to God's definition. And yes, sometimes in God's definition of making things right, there is punishment, there is consequences. I'm not saying we throw out the system that provides for that. But even in the New Testament, Paul would write, he'd talk to those who would steal. He says, not only do you quit stealing, but get a job, work, so that you have something to give. And so the idea of making things right was, you returned, not only returned what you had taken, the Old Testament law says you were to return in excess of what you would take. And that was kind of the punishment aspect. So this morning, as we consider this act of justice, I want us to begin with an acceptance of justice. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 3, we read that to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Isaiah 56:1 says, "This is what the Lord says, maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed." I believe we have to begin with understanding what God wants as we act justly is to understand that we must accept His terms. That's how we interact with people in life, is we bring justice to them according to God's view, not according to my view, not according to your view. We learn to accept what God has said as being true and right. And I know in today's world that's a difficult thing to do. Everyone wants to define good and right according to their own pleasure, according to their own thoughts, according to their own desires. And so accepting God's view of justice says my view becomes irrelevant. It's God's view that matters. Otherwise, this whole message, this whole series on what does God want really has no meaning. Because if we discover what God wants and we say to ourselves and we say to others, "I don't care," then why are we even investigating? Why are we even looking at what God wants? And so we begin with accepting God's view of justice. And when people do wrong, when we do wrong, the question isn't what's the maximum punishment they can get. The question is, how can I make things right and how can I help them make things right? You see, we live with a desire that often goes against what God wants. And when we begin to accept what God wants, we begin to realize that He alone is the judge. And He can judge more fairly, with greater justice, than any of us ever can. We're going to find as I look at this that, as I said earlier, we don't really want justice according to the world's view when it comes to us and God. We want something better. We want what He has chosen to make right. And so when we consider this act of justice, we begin with this acceptance of justice, but this acceptance of justice means that we go that step further and we make a commitment to justice. So this is going to be the rule of my life. Not just when it's convenient for me, not just when it's to my benefit, but because God says this is the way I should act. And there are times where we like the idea of justice, no matter how we define it, and there are other times that we don't. And it really comes down to that idea, does it apply to me or does it apply to somebody else? And so what does this commitment of justice look like? In Psalm 106, verse 3, we read, "Blessed are those who maintain justice, who constantly do what is right." This commitment says that we're involved in maintaining, we're involved in constantly doing the things that are right. That's the act of justice in a commitment form. It's that commitment that God is in charge and I'm not. And it's the consistency that comes with it. As my story with the drunk driver that hit us, I eventually reached that point in my mind that realized that I was the one receiving the punishment. And I had to spend time with God and say, God, this isn't my problem anymore. It's been made right to me and my family. What this man needs is between you and him, not between him and me. And this commitment to justice says, I'm going to be satisfied with God and his ability to make things right, no matter what. And when we consider what that looks like, I want to look at a verse out of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 21. As true with many of the prophets in the Old Testament, a lot of their message is, well, it can get very discouraging because it's being written to a people who have rejected God, who are living in disobedience. And the words are generally words of God trying to call them back, trying to get them to return to that commitment to Him that they once had. But within them are these great promises. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 21 says, but if a wicked man turns away from all the sins he has committed, and he keeps my decrees and does what is just and right, he will surely live. He will not die. You see, this commitment of justice says that there's the possibility, there's the availability of change, of transformation, of being made right because of the work of Jesus on the cross. You see, that's where we come down to this definition of how we live with that commitment of justice. As we begin to look at ourselves as in need of being made right and realizing it was without power to be made right in and of ourselves, that we needed Jesus. So we live with this act of justice as we begin with the acceptance of God defining justice. We live with this act of justice as we grow in our commitment to living that way within our own life and in our interactions with everybody else. But it's with all of God's commands, with all of His instruction, with all of the things that He wants from us, there's another element that we really need to be involved in, and that's the teaching of justice. As we gather this morning, I'm guessing that most people in this room and probably many watching online are understand what we call the Great Commission, Jesus sending out His followers, those that believe in Him, to make disciples. And we're fairly good within the Christian churches of catching that first part, of baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But what do we do with the rest of the passage? The part that says, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. Of continuing that instruction. And I believe the same is true in this act of justice when God says He wants us to act justly. He wants us to accept His definition. He wants us to live committed to that definition. But He wants us to teach what that looks like in real life. One of the aspects of traveling with IDES at the opportunities that I've been able to do so is, well, it's the skepticism of people. You show up in a place, you're not from there. You're going door to door at times and offering to help clean up their yard, help get that tree off your house, help clean out all of the damage that's done inside your home because the roof fell in. And the number one response is, Well, it's who are you? How much is it going to cost is the second response. And when you say nothing, there's a great deal of disbelief. They've been taken too many times, especially those in these hurricane zones that have lived through it over and over and over. And there have been properties that we've tried to help, that we've tried to minister to, and it doesn't matter what we've said, they simply says, no. I don't think you're really going to do this for free. But then there's the others that are so blessed, so grateful, so beside themselves. We had one property this past September, last month that I was at, and we stopped by and had heard from a preacher at the church, and one of the church members that we were working through, this was her neighbor. And we'd cleaned up her property, and she had told her neighbor, this group will help. And it was a gentleman in his 80s and his wife, and they'd been trying to trim away the brush and take a little bit out to the road every day. And there were six massive trees down they would not live long enough to do it at the rate they were going. And he told us that they had had contractors come by, and the quote was $15,000 to clean up their property. There were a group of five of us volunteers, and we came in one afternoon, and in 3 hours we had it done. And we're not working with big equipment. We're just using chainsaws and muscle and a skid steer loader to take it to the road. And so it's not that it was this huge task, but it's that lack of justice. It's that lack of doing things the right way. Others we would talk to, they were being quoted anywhere from $15,000 to $25,000 just to take a tree off. And some of it was definitely going to be hard work. But when we begin to teach about justice, when we talk to people about why we do what we do, and that was the conversation that was being had over and over again. How can you do that? Because this is what God wants. He wants us to treat people fairly. He wants us to offer from ourselves that which we can. One of my greatest responses that I've heard is a group that I was with last year in doing this, and one of the guys was asking and offering, well, can I pay you something? He said, you know, you guys all came down here on your own. You've got your trucks, you've got fuel, you've got this, you've got that. Can I give you something? And one of the guys that I was working with simply says, no, Jesus already paid for it. Amen. And when we begin to see that in this idea of acting justly, when we begin to realize that God has taken care of me, I can take care of others. In Romans chapter 3, we get to that part of God's idea of justice. The part that we ought to be teaching, the part we ought to be living. Because when we realize what we deserve isn't what we're getting if we're in Christ, we ought to, as that opening song said, we ought to sing a little louder. We ought to raise our hallelujah. We ought to be celebrating every day. Because God's idea of justice is making things right, even when we don't have that ability of ourselves. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 21, says, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented to Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. Catch this. He did this to demonstrate his justice. Because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did so to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so that he is the one that is both just and the one who justifies to those who have faith in Jesus. When we begin to get the idea that somebody deserves justice because of what they've done, and when that idea in our mind is really saying somebody deserves punishment for what they've done, we've kind of missed the point of the justice that God has brought into our life. Yes, people need justice for the deeds that they do. They need them to be made right. And we have the ability, the opportunity to live and to act justly by making things right with our neighbors, by making things right with our coworkers, by making things right with our family. It doesn't matter so much as to who is, quote, right and wrong. It matters that we're covered by the blood of Jesus. You see, that's the part that we teach about justice, is that none of us want what we deserve. Even those that think we want what we deserve really don't. Because if we truly believe and we go through life convinced that I want what I deserve and I ought to get what I deserve, we don't have an accurate idea of who we really are. We fooled ourselves. The passage is a very familiar verse in the middle of what I just read from Romans. He says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, we act justly when we recognize we're part of that all, and that we've been made right with God through the blood of Jesus. And we act justly when we teach, we take that message to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our family members. When we represent Jesus wherever we are, we pick up this mantle of the first part of what does God want from me? And what does God want from you? He wants us to act justly, to be His servant in making things right. That can only be done through the message of Jesus. This morning, as we come to a time of decision, and I believe every time God's word is preached, it's shared, that He calls every person hearing it to make a decision. It's often thought of as, well, it's a decision to follow Jesus, to be immersed into Christ, to surrender your life. And that is definitely a decision that needs to be made if you've not done that. But I've discovered that most of the time when a church family gathers, the vast majority have already made that decision. And so what is your decision today? When you consider what does God want from you, what does acting justly look like this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, next month? When things go the way that you want them to, when things don't go the way that you want them to, how will you be involved in making things right? If you're in Christ, you've discovered how to be involved in making things right between you and God. It's through Jesus. The good news is that's the same way to make things right between you and others. It's through Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You that You're a God that loves us so much that You've given us these instructions. You've told us what You want. And one of those things that You want from us is that we would act justly. And God, help us today as we live life to do just that. To take the good news of Jesus wherever we are. to let you define what justice really looks like. May we be involved as your servants, as instruments that help make things right. And may we always look to your word for the truth of what that looks like. And Father, when correction and punishment is needed, if it's for us, may we accept it humbly. May we grow from it. If it's what others need, may we also be those instruments that teach and help them to know how to be right with you. May we lift up Jesus at every opportunity that we have so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. Would you please stand?